Hi, everybody. I'm Melissa Harris Perry, and this is The Takeaway. Remember this.
Hey, you want to know how to protect something? You wrap it up. You want to protect it? You wrap it up. So, you want to protect it? Wrap it up.
No glove. No love.
Yeah, that 1994 Trojan commercial featuring a suburban mom on a plastic-covered couch while explaining that you just need to
wrap it up
is a classic. And it's a reminder that in the 1990s, battling the HIV epidemic required no-nonsense messaging to clear the fog of homophobic misinformation that characterized so much of the 1980s public discourse about HIV and AIDS. And by the way,
wrap it up
is damn good advice. Condoms are super effective at protecting against a whole host of highly transmissible infections. Which is why I'm thinking maybe those 1994 ad makers need to have a little sit-down conversation with the CDC. COVID-19 cases in the United States are on the rise. According to Stat, July has seen cases increase at the most rapid pace since last winter. Given that vaccination rates are slowing, maybe it's time for the CDC to send a clear public health message. We were kind of thinking maybe something like this.
Mask it up. Want to protect them? Mask it up. Want to protect you? Mask it up.
Here to help us understand what lessons current public health leaders can learn from sexual health educators is Martha Kempner, sexual health expert and author of the weekly newsletter, Sex on Wednesdays. Martha, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you wrote that you have been a condom evangelist for much of your life. Are you now a face mask evangelist?
I think I am. You know, I grew up in a time when HIV was just beginning and we were just learning about it. And we got really clear messages. This is scary. This is deadly. And you have to wear a condom. You have to wear a condom every time you have sex until you are in a committed relationship, and you can define that how you want, but it has to be a relationship where you're not having, you know, bringing in risk from other people. And you both get tested. And I think that my cohort of friends really did that. But when you look at people who are older than me and younger than me, the messages got more muddled earlier because there was an HIV and later because it became less of a deadly disease and more of a chronic manageable condition. And I think that condom rates show those muddled messages.
Yeah, Martha, I feel like you must be ex-gen like me. I was in college 90 to 94, and I mean, the messages were clear.
Yeah, it was clear. You use a condom, then it was, I mean, it was almost like, I don't know, maybe it was like the Facebook equivalent of like putting your, we're in a relationship. You went and got tested together even sometimes, and that's when you could stop using condoms.
That said, it's not that it was ever completely easy to have those conversations because, look, it for many people and by many positions, right, sex simply feels better without condoms in the way that life feels better without a mask. So how does public health messaging break through kind of our basic hedonism to do what feels good?
Yeah, you know, it's hard. I think one of the things that we do wrong, though, we have to acknowledge, yes, we get it. You don't want to wear a condom. Yes, we get it. You'd rather not wear a face mask. But I think we also have to acknowledge that we don't have to push that message as hard as we do. We often kind of come at it with such a negative. We're so convinced people don't want to do it that we overcompensate, kind of emphasize the negative. Like, yeah, okay, you don't want to wear it, but here's a great condom.
Now, this is not a perfect one-to-one example. In the clearest ways, how is it that masks are different from condoms?
Well, for one thing, they're public, right? You only have to talk to your partner about whether you're wearing a condom. Only your partner really knows whether you're wearing a condom. Masks have kind of become a public statement of how you, well, really of your politics. I think that's very different because in addition to fighting against people just not wanting to wear them, we're fighting a little bit of an identity politics battle.
It felt to me for a bit before the vaccine that there was kind of an upswing around the like fashion aspect, right? Like that masks were becoming a statement and you saw all of these innovations and, you know, that capitalism was doing what it does and getting in there and kind of making masking interesting. Have we lost that? You know, again, for all the struggles we may have around sort of marketing and consumption, that part felt like it was doing a good public health service.
I totally agree. And I hope we haven't lost it. You know, everyone was making masks from Target to the Gap or whoever. And I think that that's really helpful. I think one of the things that we've done to help condom use is make better condoms. They're thinner, they have better lube on them. And that's helpful. And I think that we should continue to make better masks.
Right. And more comfortable ones. I mean, I can remember in the beginning, it was like, oh, my ears hurt all the time. But then that kind of got worked out in design over time.
Yes, it's very helpful. And I think that that's what we need to keep going on condom innovation. We need to keep going on mask innovation, because the more we can get rid of the negative feelings around it, the better.
Now, when you talk about negative feelings, sometimes kind of Goffman-like here, there's a sense that public shaming can also be valuable for doing things like moving folks towards condom use, even though it's private, or towards mask use, which is more public. Should we use public shaming? And are there effective and, oh, this sounds odd, but almost kind or appropriate ways to use public shaming versus just cruel ones?
You know, my children will tell you I'm the judgiest person in the world, but shaming doesn't work. It's my first instinct, but we know from years of public health research that it doesn't work. I would, you know, I can envision a moment where I see someone in a store not wearing a mask and I try to appeal to their sense of decency and remind them that my 10-year-old still can't get vaccinated. It's not a choice, and she's still vulnerable, so please put your mask on. But I wish that would work. I'm not sure it really will.
It feels like there's one other important sort of connection between COVID and the HIV/AIDS crisis. And that was a sense that we felt differently about it and had different kinds of public health messaging when it felt like everybody was in it together. And when it felt like it impacted just one group, like men who have sex with men, or you know, mostly people who were using IV drugs or whatever this sort of single group was, it was easy to ignore it. And I'm wondering if that's what's happening with COVID, this sense that, well, it's not the problem of these people, it's just the problem of those people.
Definitely. I think we want to think our own risk is low. And so what we do is we're like, well, I'm not old, or I don't have a compromised immune system, so I'm going to be fine. It's just them. And then when we say it's just them, we give ourselves an excuse to not wear the condom or wear the face mask. And in this case, especially, you know, condoms are a little different because they're just between two people. But this is really a case of a community needing to protect everyone in it. And so othering and putting, you know, underestimating your own risk or putting the risk on other people is not helpful.
Martha Kempner is a sexual health expert and author of the weekly newsletter, Sex on Wednesday. Thanks for joining us, Martha.
Thanks so much.